Tribe of Co-Members. I'm Jen.
And I'm Carrie.
And this is Warhammer 40k Book Club, where we read from a crag. This is episode number 120, and our book is Lazarus, Enmity's Edge by Gary Closter. The book is about the struggles of Lazarus as he visits a planet dealing with its own little secretive issue. We posted several questions on our website, wh40kbookclub.com, and we encourage participation in our conversations via our YouTube, our site, or Encrypted Vox channel. Spoiler warning, if you haven't yet read the book, definitely check it out, then come back to this post as we'll be discussing the book from start to finish in great detail. With that, let's dive in. Carrie, did you enjoy the book?
I love this book. Although, the title's terrible.
It's named after his sword.
Stupid. Like, as soon as they announced his name of the sword, I was like, seriously, that's where we went with the title of this book? You couldn't think of anything else, whether it was him or Games Workshop or whatever. Dumb.
I hate it, but it's only because, and I think I said this in the last podcast when we were announcing that this was our book, I don't know why.
Oh, because the word enmity?
I have a personal pronunciation issue with enmity. I always have to slow it down, otherwise it comes out enmity. Enmity.
I don't know how you said that.
Enmity.
Enmity? Enmity
instead of enmity. So I always have to like put the emphasis on enmity. That.
Enmity. Gosh, that's going to tongue twister.
I know. It always does. I don't know why. It's like some weird dyslexic thing that pops in. Anyways, I really enjoyed the book too. What parts stood out to you?
Well, first of all, probably the same thing that might have stood out to you was Lazarus's argument with Azrael. I snickered the entire time.
You know what it reminded me of? And this is why I sniggered so hard during it. Do you know what it reminded me of? Shirley Jackson's The Lottery. Because it's all fun and games and tradition. And this is what we do. And I wouldn't miss this for the world. Until it affects you. And then all of a sudden, you know what? Why are we doing this? Like, Lazarus has been part of the inner circle for a long time. And it's not until he gets
screwed over,
railroaded and like totally screwed over. And he gets to be the one holding the fuzzy into the lollipop with somebody getting dragged off for the fallen that he's like, you know, I got to be really honest. I don't know why we're doing this anymore. Like, it was just, that part was kind of funny to me, is that he's like, yeah. And then all of a sudden,
Well, I also wonder if some of that's like with the Primaris, because it's something that we kind of witnessed with Uriel Ventress, how much that going through the Rubicon, changed him. Like the anger, for example, and the pragmatism, how he was more practical, like to the point of, you know, the detriment of everybody else. You know, after crossing. And so I almost wondered that with him, where he's just like, I understand what you're doing, but that's not practical right now.
Right.
Can it wait like 5 more minutes? That's kind of what I felt like, which just, it just made me giggle. And it made me think of, man, that meme from so long ago. Remember when the meme that came from them saying that they're going to storm Area 51? Remember that? And there was that guy with the Naruto run in the background. And someone had made a meme with that. And they put over that a dark angel seeing the fallen angels. And it was like that. And then the guy being interviewed was like Space Marine on the mission. It's like, yes. And that's kind of, it's like, that's what I was imagining. They're doing the Naruto run. Like, we got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck. I know you're about to be overrun. Sorry.
Well, it goes back to one of the things that I have always said about the dark angels, which is that they are loyal to themselves first.
Right.
The Imperium second. And I liked the idea that this book really was Lazarus when he's talking with Azrael. He basically says that. He's like, yeah, like, I kind of think that maybe our priorities are misaligned and there's a lot of stuff going on in the Imperium right now and we should probably be paying attention to that. And I do like that Azrael does not react well to that particular conversation. But that was it was a great conversation. It was a great part of this book. And I really do feel as though, given that this entire book then basically comes down into a parable about the Dark Angels and the Fallen and how secrets can destroy you. I liked that he included that. I actually really liked Azrael's reaction because it felt very on brand.
Yeah. But that's how I expect Asriel to react. Like, if he was just like, I see what you're saying. That would have been awful, because Asriel has literally been doing this his whole life. I also found it interesting. It's like, oh, Asriel hasn't crossed the Rubicon. That's also interesting.
I like that they're all still kind of like about the Primaris. Like, Lazarus passed through it. He had the Primaris Psyker with him, but they do address that the Primaris are still kind of considered.
Yeah, I mean, he basically, he has the interrogator chaplain. Basically, he's just like, so what are you feeling today? Like, he's just on personal therapy sessions. Like, anytime he turns around, he shows like any sort of emotion. It's like, well, now, why did you feel that way? And how did that make you feel? You're right to be angry. That's really what it felt like for this interrogator chapter. And I kind of felt bad for him, because he's like, this is not helping my rage, which is someone who like does get angry, and the fastest way to make me angrier is to like tell me just to relax and smile more, right? That's the fastest way to get me from I'm a little mad to okay, now I'm gonna fucking rip your head off. So to me, it's really interesting kind of seeing that kind of parallel with this guy. And he does get so angry. And like I said, it kind of brought the parallels to me a little bit with Uriel Ventress, because he also is having some anger. You know, actually, my first thought when he kept talking about getting angry, and they wonder if this is part of the Primaris, and I'm comparing to Uriel, I was just like, it's like these guys are roided out space marines.
It kind of is. And because they also have this new strength, and it's... Again, it's one of the things that we've always said, and I think actually not to harp too much on Uriel Ventress, but I think the third Uriel Ventress book really highlights these are not people. I've always said that the Space Marines fundamentally, emotionally, are kind of broken. These guys don't handle emotion very well, mm-hmm. and they really don't handle frustration or disappointment very well. And so we see like how frustrated they get because they've got this new power and these new bodies. And I thought that they handled the Primaris transition with him very well. They really did show again, this idea that, okay, yeah, we are reluctantly folding these people into our mix, but we still don't know how we feel about this. Mm-hmm. And I like that they are particularly like, you're part of the inner circle. We don't know how we feel about this. I just liked the interrogator chaplain in general, though. I am not a big fan, but I loved how personable, but realistically personable, mm-hmm. they made him. He didn't feel like, hey, I just got here and I've got a lot of personality, even though I probably shouldn't. He just felt very human, but still an interrogator chaplain.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked that. Let's talk a little bit more about Lazarus here, because we've kind of already delved into this, and it's about his doubts. He has some pretty big doubts. What do you think will come from this conversation with Asriel? And do you think this is a little bit of foreshadowing for when Papa Lion comes home?
I think so. Especially, you know, when he brings home some fallen in tow with him. That might make for awkward conversation. The other thing I thought was so funny was the conversation with Asriel, is because now that Lazarus is a Primaris, he's taller than
And he talks about looking down.
Yeah, the Supreme Grandmaster. And it was funny because even Demetrius comments on it. He's just like, no, I just don't like it when you're taller than me. And it's like, you know, try to make a light joke of it. But yeah, also, you know, so very humorous. But then, you know, there was also, you know, the new librarian, brand new to the chapter, to them, who is a Primaris. And everyone's just like, ooh. Like, we're already not so cool with Lazarus.
Right. And we're also not really cool with the whole Psyker thing. So, and you are definitely a Psyker.
Yeah, we're not exactly cool with Lazarus. Like, we're cool, but we're figuring it out. And now you're here and, like, you're a complete outsider.
Right. And there's just there's a lot of distress. I actually kind of liked one of my favorite scenes in there was when they kind of low-key hint that they more trust the Tech Marine.
Mm.
Than the Primaris Psyker.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially with everything that kind of unfolded here.
Well, and I think with Jekin, it really highlighted why I think this is probably a big foreshadow. Because this whole idea
mm-hmm.
that they have to kill Jekin because they cannot risk what he knows getting out. And this idea, and I do love when the interrogator chaplain is like, yeah, and she's like, oh, you know, are you sorry that you had to kill your friend? And he, or like, why are you going to rescue him? And he's like, he's my friend.
Right.
Yes, he's part of the inner circle. Yes, he's super important. Yes, he's an ancient. But you do get the impression that, yeah, this guy's, he's our friend. Like, we're so good friends with this guy. Like, this is, that made me sad. And I think that this is going to be, I think this mission, I don't know if anybody ever saw the Robot Chicken Star Wars special, but when they're all sitting at dinner after we were hoping you would join us, and it's all awkward and he's ripping up the muffin. I like to imagine that this conversation, as they're all sitting there awkwardly in silence, is going to come up. Oh, how was the last mission?
Which actually just made me laugh even harder when, you know, Harris Amis was like, you know, I'm going to take over. And everybody, and everyone's going to know the Dark Angels are nothing but a bunch of traitors. I'm like, funny you should say that.
Yeah. We're going to talk a lot more about secrets and Amis and all of that. Because there's a lot going on in this book. And it's like, on one hand, I was like, oh, it's a giant parable. But on the other, it was a good, like, this was Bolter porn. We haven't had a good Bolter porn in a while, and it was Bolter porn done right, where it has, yes, really, there's a lot of fighting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good story. Not really lore changing, which is more than fine. But I always like it when the Space Marines, you know, take a little deeper into themselves, just to kind of take a thing that's going on. And honestly, the whole idea of the, you know, at that one point, Les was just like, there's secrets just wrapped in secrets and wrapped in secrets. It's funny he says that, because that's actually something that Gav Thorpe dealt with a lot in Angels of Darkness. Like, he goes, yes, and he's like, oh my gosh, the secrets upon secrets upon secrets. And even in his Horus Heresy books with the Dark Angels, he mentions that. And, you know, Dan Abnett mentioned it in Unremembered Empire. He's like, everything you do is secrets wrapped in secrets. We don't even know if we can even trust you.
Right, exactly. And I think Mike Brooks's Lion book, if nothing else, has reinforced my idea that when the Lion comes back, he's going to be a little disappointed that's what his legacy is and his Dark Angels. Because I do love the pride of the Dark Angels, right? How they keep talking about, like, we are the oldest. We are the first.
First and finest. And,
yep. And that's not really what you're known for. Like, so let's talk really quickly about Isengrid, our weir book, our human protagonist.
Our human, do you like her? Our human data lake.
Yeah. So, okay. I'm going to make a statement. And yes, I realize that so much of the Warhammer 40K universe has been borrowed from Dune, whole cloth, right? But when they were describing her, I was like, oh, the Mentats? Are we talking about Mentats? What are we talking about here? Yes. Anyways, maybe. Our Mentat, she's the internet. She's all of Google downloaded. Did you like her? Was she compelling? Did she add to the story?
I liked her a lot, especially when she was high as a kite on truth serum.
That was delightful, by the way, because she gets all giggly. And I do like when she's like, when she's talking with the interrogator chaplain and she's like, oh, so you guys just need me because I provide data for you? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, oh, that's nice. And she meant it.
Right.
She's like, she's being serious. And then when she's just like, rah, 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 all they do is talk about how much they hate this planet and I don't like her and I don't like him. And, rah, 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 rah. And of course, the interrogator chaplain's like,
and she's like, wait, you're interrogating me. He's like, maybe. She's like, you're very good at it. I had some practice. It was so dang funny. Oh my God.
I thought the whole concept of the Weir books was kind of fun, and the Mentats was very fun and interesting too. The idea, I also do like that, I like other people's reaction to them, that they're mutants. Yes.
Yes.
But like so many things in the Warhammer 40K universe.
But they're useful.
They serve a purpose. They serve. I really liked her. I thought she was funny. I thought she had good personality. But she also served a purpose. And if we still had variable lines, by the way, my my thing at the bottom was going to be bored to death because she basically bores the main villain to death. Do you want to know about all of the grain totals for the past 10,000 years?
So she decided to go through all the taxation regulations over the last 800 years and how it changed from how it was before. I was like, that's amazing.
Death and taxes. Death and taxes. Right? It reminded me of when it's in Naked Gun 2.5. When they have the climate change guy, when they have him reading through his thesis and everybody in the room falls asleep. Like, that's basically what they did. Like, and it was a good use of her. It was a good use of her powers. It was a good use of her knowledge of history and her, you know, just her, the entire reason for her being. I also absolutely loved the way they described them, like, picking her up and putting her on their shoulder. And she's like, this is humiliating, but I also don't want to have to look up at you people.
She's kind of like their parrot, right? She's just talking up on their shoulder.
Really was like a parrot where they're just like, what does this mean? And she's like, oh yeah, this happened. Thank you, parrot. I also, first off, I teared up when she died. And yeah. I also teared up because she asks Lazarus, is it hard to die? It's like, not when you've done your duty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was very sweet. Especially for, oh my God, for Dark Angel, for one. Two, for Primaris. I mean, wow. I mean, his heart grew 3 sizes that day. And he now understood what it meant to be a Primaris.
He understood what it meant to be a protector of humanity. Gosh darn it. Yes, I thought that it was a good connection to the world. It was a good connection of just... Again, because one of the things we talk about, and this is what makes the Weir books so interesting, especially in this story, is that their whole bag is this planet is a giant ball of secrets. It's a giant hairball of secrets. And the Dark Angels are a giant hairball of secrets. And yet, they have these creatures whose sole purpose is to be the knowledge, the database of all of the knowledge, and to educate people. And so, I liked the idea that they were largely like, oh yeah, like, you got the impression with, like, the Regent... He's like, tell me good stories about how awesome we are. And then his son is like, I don't care. But the amount of information and knowledge these people do have, it is useful. You just have to know how to use it.
Like the internet.
Basically, yes. You have to know the right search queries. And the fact that the Dark Angels would find somebody like that and be like, oh, yeah, that one's coming with us. They immediately recognize her value, which just makes me happy for her.
She got to be part of history instead of just reciting history.
Instead of just reciting it. I was, it was a good ending for her, but I was kind of bummed. Because obviously after she's seen everything she's seen and learned everything she's learned, I don't know what her future would be.
Right.
And after the Dark Angels leave, like, does she really, as a Weir book, like... Yeah, she could sit there and be like, I was an eyewitness. I saw all of this stuff. It was wild.
But don't you kind of wonder, like, now that the Adeptus Mechanicus have taken over, if they're going to get rid of that whole thing anyway?
It makes you wonder, right? It's definitely a question. And I really did like the Fabricator Locum. I thought she was fun. And obviously we'll talk about her more as we talk about just all of the, or I guess we can use that to bridge into, secrets upon secrets upon secrets. Did you like the main mystery here? Was it compelling? Did you like it?
It was. Because there was some twists in there I did not see coming entirely.
I liked...
Because I thought maybe the Regent Prime was behind this. You know, not his son.
You knew Sebastian was too much of a useful idiot. Like, you knew that this kid wasn't the one really pulling the strings. I actually was... Yeah. There was a point in the book where I was like, I swear to God, if it really is Sebastian controlling all of this, I'm going to be very disappointed in this book.
Were you, though? I wasn't.
I wasn't, no. But I mean, like, if he would have been the main antagonist, if he's like, I figured out how to use the Great Pall, and I've done this, if he would have been the guy who was pulling the strings, he was just a useful idiot. Like, right. Amos needed him to accomplish his goals because he needed the knights, which we're going to talk more about in a second, because that was what made my heart grow 2 sizes. When the knight is like, yeah, I'm Revoco. You did not. But anyways, if it would have been him, I would have been disappointed. I thought it was really well done that you picked the wrong side. Kind of like Luther picked the wrong friends.
Yes, Luther did pick the wrong friends. He trusted Astolon.
And yeah, just like, and again, the parable was very heavy, right? Of this. Yeah. I liked the idea that, yeah, we've got these secrets and these secrets, and we basically are going to fight against each other because of these secrets and this giant misunderstanding. And in the end, we're going to annihilate one another. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the goddamn Adeptus Mechanicus there to pick up the pieces.
So honestly, but at the end, when they realized there was no more House Halvin, and if there was, it's like, you've been dismissed, and now the Adeptus Mechanicus taking over. I was like, tinfoil hat. How much of this was what you guys manipulated along to eventually take over the planet?
Well, I did like, so that's what I was going to say with her, with the Fabricator General, with Gretton Lan. I liked the idea when Lazarus, like, she kind of is just like, this is all kind of crazy, isn't it? Wild. And then when he finally presses her of what happened here, and she's like, whatever, I'm stuck on this rock anyways. Here's what happened. Giant misunderstanding. We were the ones who pushed him. He made mistakes. And then when it came time, we left him holding the bag. Like, oh my God, can you believe that he totally messed up all of this stuff? Gosh. Like,
even though he was told to,
he was told to rush it. And I liked how she's like, okay, look, with the benefit of hindsight, we can see why and how this went so wrong. But in the moment, we were rushing this along, right? And you can kind of understand how that would work. And I'm using this unknown.
But when she said, though, she's like, we just figured it'd be cleaner in the end. And then it was Isentrude who was like, you mean for you? It's like, yes, exactly. And it just kind of hammers the point home in that the Imperium and the Adeptus Mechanicus are more than happy to sacrifice someone who was doing what they asked if it meant just kind of going about their business.
Right. As long as we don't rock the boat, as long as we don't make it weird.
As long as they don't blame us. I mean.
Right. And it was easier to just be like, oh yeah, that guy was evil and bad. Than it was to have to be like, okay, this is really complicated.
Right.
Right. And there's something to be said about the fact that it's the Dark Angels going, what happened here?
But, you know, it also goes to a lot of the Imperium and the Adeptus Mechanicus being, you know, we're going to tell you what's easiest instead of what's right.
Right.
Because the right exactly thing to that. Do would have been like, look, we made some mistakes. It wasn't entirely his fault. It's regrettable. We're having issues. You know, we're really sorry. That would have been a much bigger mess to clean up, right? Than saying, like, he did it. Tell him. He did it.
It's almost like, and I kept going back to the Luther book. It's almost like it would have been a lot harder to be like, what the hell happened here?
Mm-hmm.
What is going on? Than it would be just to be like, all y'all evil and suck.
Right.
Again, it's the easier, it's the path of least resistance, which actually ends up being a huge headache and problem down the road. And especially, like, I even did, like, normally I do not enjoy this type of, like, reference. But when the regent is like, dude, the knights still exist. That's why, like, we can't let them know that the knights are still there and blah, 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 blah. And I think it's Zachariah who's just like, whoa. Thank God we don't have those kind of secrets that we're dealing with.
Right.
I actually really enjoyed that. I was like, no pumpkin.
Oh, there are so many little references to stuff like that with the Clueless and the Clueful and
all right. That.
This is like, oh, this isn't delightful. I'm having a great time with all of this personally. Because they don't trust one another, and they each have their own reasons for not trusting one another. And, you know, and to be fair, if they had tried to reclaim the knights, wouldn't the Adeptus Mechanicus have taken them over, right, wrong, or indifferent? Wouldn't they have been like, that's ours? Like, that's ours. Like, we have to. Whether it really is or not, because talked about how the knights were there before they came back in with the Imperium. So, but the Adeptus Mechanicus, they don't care. I've read too many books with them just being like, mine, that's ours.
Right. Like, it's technology and
so
it's ours.
Therefore it's ours. So there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of mistrust. And the thing is, the Adeptus Mechanicus didn't do anything to help that mistrust. Because then they kept fostering their own mistrust of the house. So it...
Right. And to be fair, though...
Which is why I thinking, what if the Adeptus Mechanicus knew about this with the Gree and Harris Amis just kind of let it happen? Kind of convenient. Like, well, this could play out well to our advantage.
I think, well, maybe with that, I don't know. The knights, they definitely didn't, because her outrage at discovering that the knights still exist, which is really kind of funny. And this is the part where I actually sympathize with the Adeptus Mechanicus, because on one hand, yeah, like they don't trust each other and then would they have probably taken them? Yeah, probably. But it's very rich for House Halvin to be like, oh my God, like you can't trust those people. Oh my gosh, like they'll do whatever they want and blah, 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 blah. So we hid our knights and just tried to fix them ourselves without telling them. Okay, let me get this straight. You don't trust them because you think they keep secrets. And you're keeping this massive secret that you can't let them learn about. And they're the assholes? Like, look, I'm not saying they're not assholes, but I think you need to acknowledge that you're kind of assholes, too.
All I'm trying to say is they're all assholes. And this kind of also...
Exactly. They all kind of deserved each other.
This also goes back to a lot with, like, you know, I have big problems with the knights. The knights creep me out.
You did not love the scene when Revoco was like, hey, what's going on?
Well, I mean, okay, I did. But just like... I guess what I mean by the knights is that the knight houses, are they loyal or not? Well, that's another question. Are they loyal or not? Well, they're loyal to what they need.
And I think Imperium, much like the Adeptus Mechanicus, they're on their own island of, well, we're loyal to us. And if you make us happy, we'll help you.
Right.
Because, which again, like the Dark Angels.
Exactly. And it's like, you can't. I'm like really struggling with words today and I apologize. It's so, like, you know, with the Assassinorum Kingmaker, you know, there was that whole thing with the knights and not being able to trust anybody and the tampering with the knights. The Adeptus Mechanicus, once again, messing with the knights and tampering. It's like, well, that's our technology, not yours. And even, gosh, the Princess Jessamine, and they're talking about the knights on, was it the Iron Kingdom?
Kingdom.
Yeah. You know, it's like, these are our knights. We can do whatever we want. You guys have to bow down to us. And same thing in the Horus Heresy was happening. The Horus Heresy. The knight houses are odd. They're very odd.
That's a word for them.
And how they work and how they function in the Imperium. And it's like everyone's kowtowing to them, but at the same time, then they get brought to heel in weird ways. And then the Adeptus Mechanicus end up betraying everybody, and then nobody's happy. And then there's like, you know, one thing that you talked about, I think, with the Assassinorum Kingmaker was the whole idea of like, what witchcraft is really going on in these knights?
Yeah, there's just so much. Well, okay, so taking a step back to something you were saying, I think this comes back to something you and I have always said, is that the Imperium, when I say the Imperium, I mean the entire, all of the cogs in the giant machine that is the Imperium, are their own worst enemy. Yes. Because you have the Inquisition off doing whatever the hell they want. You have the Administratum doing whatever they want. The Church doing whatever they want. You have the Night Houses. You have the Mechanicus. You have the Space Marines. Like, you have all of these pieces that when they work together, it all works. And all of the gears click along and everything moves just fine. And I think overall it's working, but we're starting to see a lot of wear and tear. And you're starting to see these just little cracks and that one little thing happens and then all of a sudden it can snowball and then it becomes a really big thing. Mm-hmm. And now we're just losing. The Imperium is hemorrhaging assets left and right because of 10,000 years of politics and just 10,000 years of nonsense. And again, they're their own worst enemy, and which mm-hmm. I'm sure at some point Lionel Johnson is going to come back to the Rock. He's going to get caught up on everything and he's going to call Bob and just be like, why us? Like, could somebody else come deal with this? Like, man wakes up with refreshed hatred for job. It's just the stuff with the Knights, and they're all terrible people. Like, the Night House is sitting there like, the Mechanicus, and the Mechanicus is like, these Night Houses. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't trust either of you either.
No.
The pot calling the kettle black.
And then we bring the Dark Angels in the middle of this.
Who are just like, shame on you people for keeping secrets.
You know, I wouldn't have been surprised, honestly, at the end, aside from my conspiracy theory about the Adeptus Mechanicus being behind this all along, if an Alpha Legionnaire went hee 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 and snuck away.
Oh my God. So let's talk about Amos, because we've kind of skirted around him. So our main antagonist.
He crazy.
He mad?
I mean, as Lazarus put it, his anger is justified, but that doesn't mean that he has a right of manipulating people, taking over people. Well,
like, yeah, because at the end of the day, is your anger justified? Totally. Mm-hmm. Making friends with some sort of demonic power mm-hmm. and then using a mold to take over people? Yeah, that's where you lose me a little bit.
I tell you what, I go anywhere and I smell mold, I may have to leave. Can't deal with this now. Nope.
Okay, and I was saying this before the podcast. You guys, like, I listened to the audiobook because I had a lot of cleaning up to do this weekend, and it was just like, okay, I'll, like, fold laundry and do all this while I listen to my book, which was really awesome. But for some reason, the way he said slime was just like, bleh. Especially, and maybe it was just because he had to say slime, like, 30 times inside of 10 minutes. Ew. And it's because I don't know if anybody else has kids and their kids went through a slime making phase.
Only if you have girls.
Slime? You guys, like, when they make it with the glue and everything, that is a bad touch feeling for me. Like, I touch it and recoil and every, like, nerve ending in my body is like, I don't touch that.
I don't know why. Envisioned with the slime. Honestly, it was from You Can't Do That on Television. That's what I envisioned. Just that being gray.
I don't know.
Right?
Exactly that. There's a Gen X reference. All the Gen Xers, take a drink. Or take your Advil because you probably need it. You don't know why. You just do. It reminded me of this, the slime phase and just, bad touch. Yeah, gross. I did like how he was described as basically being the Demogorgon. Or I guess like Venom, when Venom moves back and you get to see Eddie's face. Was he a worthy adversary for our heroes?
Yeah, I think so. When you got somebody who's been around for 1,000 years and has nothing but time. Yeah.
That is the type of patience, you guys, that I just don't have. I'm more of an instant gratification person, so like... You know, the ancient Klingon proverb that revenge is a dish best served cold. Nah. And I got 1,000 years to plot this. And like when Lazarus said that, when he was like, he's had 1,000 years to plot this. Good God.
Right.
You have to admire the patience.
Must be a Tzeentch demon.
I would have gotten bored. Well, that or like because of the mold and stuff in the beginning.
I couldn't pin it down which demon it could have been, and maybe it doesn't matter.
It probably doesn't matter. I think you're absolutely right. I think it was just some malevolent. It felt nerdly.
It could have just been an evil spirit. You know, just
it could have also just been an evil spirit. Like, remember, she talks about that evil spirit that used to haunt and like steal people's kids was the legend. Right. It felt nerdly only because of the intense love of despair and suffering. But I don't know. Could have just been evil, or it could have been Tzeentch, or it could have been who knows. Mm-hmm. I do like that idea, though, that even those four librarians trying their hardest. Again, it's not like psychers are an exact science. Like, they're dealing with the warp, right? So they got it sealed. Little crack. Crack. Enough for something to kind of just...
get some epoxy in there. Just smooth it all
out. Oh, totally. Yeah. Just a little bit of resin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sorry.
Make it look fancy. Like the ocean tables. It's a trend I don't understand. The idea that something came through, it found him. I thought he was a good adversary. I thought his anger was justified. And it's funny because that's going to be a conversation that the Dark Angels are going to have now that Dad is back. With all of these fallen coming into the fold, the Risen coming in to be like, you know what? We've got feelings and our feelings are justified.
Right.
Because some of us were just like, I don't like either of you people right now. And that's fair. And so I think he made a good adversary in that way. I think if nothing else, Lazarus is going to be like, actually, I think we probably need to listen to the Risen a little bit. Just like, let's hear them out a little bit. Because I just saw some stuff on a planet. And all of those people sucked. Wait, are we the problem? Are we the drama?
Common denominator is.
Right? Totally is. I thought it was good. I liked the idea that, and again, you can sympathize with him, but also be like, I mean, you're evil.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand how you got to this point.
Yes. I mean, the feeling of betrayal, that is
well, especially because it's Mechanicus.
You're justifiably angry.
Right. And it was one of those things where it's like, yeah, I get it. And I love the Mechanicus. You guys know I love the Mechanicus. The idea that the Mechanicus is like, when the Dark Angels are like, so who's to blame for this? And the Mechanicus are like, I mean, that guy.
That guy. God. Totally that guy.
Can you believe who would do such a thing? That would have gotten me angry. All right, let's talk about this. Did Lazarus learn the true meaning of Christmas here? were his points he was already making just galvanized by watching this play out?
I think the latter.
I do too. And I think Azrael is not going to like him coming back and being like, so, you sent me down there because you wanted me to figure out that no, secrets are bad and we need to keep them hidden. But spoiler alert, that is not what happened. Your plan has backfired.
Yeah, I know you sent me there as a punishment because the beacon was lit. But about that. So I did learn the true meaning of Christmas, but not in the way you think.
A lesson was taught, but not the lesson that you would like to have been taught. And that I actually think is kind of interesting because, or it's fun because a lot of times we see books like this. I think it would have been an easier route. And this is probably me doing a little bit of projection onto Lazarus. But I think a lot of times that's like, oh yeah, this is kind of crazy. And then you go to a book or, you know, you read through the whole book and you get to the end and are like, oh, actually, I guess it's kind of justifiable. And sometimes you got to do the crazy thing, right? It's the cider house rules argument. That, like all the dated references today from us.
Yeah.
But I liked that he's like, I think this. And he goes and he has this experience. And you can kind of tell at the end, he's like, yeah, I still think that. Maybe even a little bit more so now.
Because the protection also of the secret nearly wiped out the entire Fifth Company.
That, and he had to kill Jekin. That is a loss. Like, okay, Space Marines are always losing people because, you know, they'll just replenish because it's the magic world and blah, blah, blah.
Something special about the Ancients.
There's something special about the Ancients and ex-Deathwing and part of the Inner Circle. That's going to be a hard one to replace. So, and the idea that, and I do like, I mean, he says it out loud, right, to Demetrius. He says the thought, which is, we had to kill our friend because of the secret.
Mm-hmm.
Like, again, it goes back to my earlier thought about the lottery, where this is all well and good until all of a sudden you're adversely affected by it. And then it's like, wait a minute. Now we need to take stock. How many worlds has Lazarus probably put to the sword, or the dark angels that under his watch, right? There's a fallen down there. But now that we're losing members of the fifth, I mean, now it's real.
You know, I'll say this, and again, goes back to Gav Thorpe's Angels of Darkness. You know, when he realized that they were going to sacrifice an entire planet to protect their secret with the Fallen, he chose to sacrifice himself to save the planet. And that was the right thing to do. Not what they were supposed to do, but that was the right thing to do. And I think Lazarus is kind of leaning on that side.
Yeah,
you know, and honestly, the secrets were what divided the dark angels in the first place. Like, again, if the lion had just talked to Luther, and not only that, if Luther and everybody had just talked amongst themselves to find out what exactly was going on, you know, what was Cypher actually doing? Not Zahariel as Cypher, but Cypher, what was he actually doing around there? What was going on in Astolon's head, really? Yeah, we know he's here and he's bitter, but why is he bitter? And maybe we can make him better?
Not bitter.
Right. I mean, just, you know, the same idea of, like, if they would only just talk. You know, and I think that's one reason why you got the Imperial Fists and the Ultramarines have survived for so long and as well as they have, and seeing the Space Wolves too, actually, because they talk.
Probably. And one of the things that this book really, I get it, it's a metaphor. However, walk down this train with me, will you? One of the things in the beginning that I really liked in the beginning is the Watchers, how the Watchers are in Azrael's chambers and they're sitting there kind of mimicking him, and they just wait to give him, mm-hmm. take his helmet and take his sword.
Like,
and
then nobody knows what they do, and they don't talk, and you know, they're just here. It's like, yeah, that's not creepy or anything. These freaking Watchers.
But like, okay, you don't know what they are. You don't know what they are, where they are, why they are. You don't know any of this.
How they are.
When they are. You don't know anything about these things.
You don't know when they arrived, what their purpose was on Caliban.
You just kind of accept it. Yeah, you just kind of accept them. Like, I think any chapter that's willing to be like, those guys are a little mysterious. I like them. Anyway, just kind of accept them. And I do like when he's like, oh yeah, they dress like we do. Oh, wait. Or do we dress like they do? Like, again, any chapter, and this is probably me reading way too much into it, but when you have this, like, these mysterious little creatures that just kind of skitter about and you can't look into their hoods and be like, I think it's you. I can't even tell if it's humanoid. It's just profound blackness. And you're just like, sure, why not? Like, and I always get the impression that the reason that they accept them is, we all got our secrets. Maybe that's why you're just like, oh yeah, we've got all kinds of secrets. And I think,
and you don't even know which side the Watchers are on.
I mean
that's happened in the Horus Heresy, would clear that some of that stuff up. The answer is no. I couldn't tell you if the Watchers were there to help Cypher, if they were there to help Loken when he kind of invaded trying to find out what's going on over here. Were they there are they there to help the lion? Are they just like, we're just here for Caliban? Like,
I think the answer to all of those questions is yes.
Sure.
Yes. Just yes. They're there because they're there. And I hope that eventually they will have like plot relevance, or they will maybe give a little bit of like, here, okay, here's really what's going on with these damn things.
I don't know if they ever will, because that might ruin some of the mystery. You know, it's like the whole idea of what's in the briefcase.
You know what? That's the other thing, is that part of me wants a little bit more, but then the other part of me is just like, oh, I kind of like the mystery. I kind of like not knowing what they are. But it does go back to, I think when you're willing to accept that, maybe compartmentalizing everything and just being secretive and weird is, It's just kind of another, like, oh, I mean, we got these things hanging around. Why not? We got secrets. And the fact that they do compartmentalize everything again, like, as we look at, like, I feel like the Dark Angels are the Imperium's problems taking place on a micro scale.
Mm, I could see that.
All of these little factions that work together and none of them really trust each other and they all know information that they don't really want to share with each other, but we're all kind of working together and we're all in this together, but also kind of not. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this guy's in, but this guy's not. And.
Right.
Something has to give. And I think that something is the end of this book. How did you react to the last line of the book?
Well, I mean, it could mean a myriad of things, to be honest. It could mean, I guess you showed up on the rock and, oh my God, is this bad? Or it could mean Asriel's like, we're having a family meeting. You know, because they always say the lion goes with you. That also could be what it means. But I want to believe it's that the lion returned to the rock. Or they got word that the lion is around and they need to go do a search party.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It could be that mm-hmm. we've gotten, like, it could be, well, I went downstairs and he wasn't there. Oh, and neither was Luther, but the first part more important right now. We'll deal with the second part later. Because then the other question will be, sorry, what? Luther? What? Yeah, he's been here the whole time. Weird. Anyways, because only Asriel would know that.
And Asriel didn't close the door behind him.
Oopsie poopsie.
When the eye split open, he didn't close the door behind him.
But look, who hasn't had that happen?
We don't know where Luther is, how he got off the rock or anything. He might still be here. Who knows?
But who hasn't accidentally, you know, had to rush out of the basement and your long-term enemy that you've been keeping in there for 10,000 years just gets out and you're like, oh, damn, how did that happen? Again, oopsie poopsie. I feel like you're right. It could be anything. I'm hoping, because he talked about how he had to keep reading it. I'm hoping that it does mean that, yeah, Dad is here and we got questions we got to answer. You got to come home. I'm hoping that's what it is. I don't want to have to. I know that we've always said this, but I don't want to have to read a book where everyone's like, are you sure you're the lion? And then at the end of the book, they're like, my God, he must actually be the lion.
Technically the Dark Angels should automatically know, the same way the Ultramarines automatically knew. It's something that's like innate in their DNA.
The Emperor's Shield. What happens next?
Fuck if I know, to be totally honest. I mean, because I can't predict anything that's going on in Games Workshop these days. I don't even know. No idea.
I don't either. I do hope that there is a sit down of like, okay. Like,
because is this going to be like our only Dark Angels book this year, right? Only Dark Angels book that's going to mention the lion, because we only got one last year. Only got one.
Oh, you had to go there, didn't you? To your point, I don't know. And I hope it isn't. I hope, like, okay, I understand that they basically retconned the entirety of the Dark Imperium. However, Bob has showed up in a lot of books since Bob has returned. Like, even if he's just there to be like, I'm existing and I'm out. He shows up. Like, the fact that the lion, we got one book and they're like, the lion is back. But probably not. I don't know, guys. Check back with us in a year or so. Just, we don't know. I was like 90% certain the lion was not going to make an appearance in this book. He does not. That line does not count.
No, it does. It does not count, especially because it could mean literally anything.
It literally could mean anything. And like, I will be very disappointed if like the next Dark Angels book that comes out is basically like, huh, we got to have a town meeting because we found some fallen.
Right.
That's what we meant, that the lion has called us home, because the fallen. I'm going to be really disappointed. I don't think that the Dark Angels can ever fully stop hunting the fallen, because, I mean, even if they just like amend to, okay, we're hunting the fallen because we want to grab the guys who are actually non-chaos and try to bring them back into the fold. And then the guys who are chaos, we're hunting because we want to kill them. But honestly, we got to go and kill a whole bunch of Tyranids first. Like, that's what I would love to happen. But that's kind of like the entire Dark Angels idiom.
Right.
Is we do this. And so I think that I do kind of think that Games Workshop might be in a bit of a pickle there. And that
I think so too, because I think the other problem with the Dark Angels, the fact that the lion is coming back, we're going to take away a lot of this mystery and the intrigue between the Dark Angels and the Fallen, right? So if you make
it helps that there's still Chaos Ones.
Yes, I mean, because it's not that it's unusual to have renegades, right? I mean, look at Ardric Vaines. We're not going to hunt down the entire Raven Guard chapters because this one guy got pissed off at the Raven Guard and left and joined up with Hanso. You know, if the Dark Angels actually stopped and thought for a minute, they could have just been like, there's a bunch of us that just went up and left and we're trying to hunt them. Like, can you guys help us? Everyone would have been like, yes, we're fine with that, because you guys are totally honest. But that's not their thing. Their thing is to have the mystery and intrigue, because the lion was always full of mystery and intrigue, because the lion knows best and you just have to trust with what he does. God, you're so...
weaponized autism.
You're just so dumb to think otherwise. God. So you have all that, and so I'm afraid of the lion being back, and that changes everything about the Dark Angels. Because you take anybody else, you bring Rogel Dorn back, that's not going to change the entire chapter of the Imperial Fists.
Bob did not change the chapter of the Ultramarine. You bring back
Jagatai Khan. That's not going to change everything.
Orvis Korax.
That's not going to change anything.
Leman Russ. Are they going to be like with Bob, they're going to have to make some changes. There's going to be some discomfort.
It's not going to fundamentally change the chapter and what it does. The lion coming back is going to fundamentally change things. And I think, you know, honestly, that might be a little bit of why I did not enjoy the Lion, Son of the Forest as much as everybody else did. Because all I can see is when he's reuniting with those fallen and calling them, you know, they're calling themselves arisen, like, now you're taking away a crucial piece of what makes the Dark Angels the Dark Angels.
Right. And I mean, I still think, because they've established that, yes, some of them are straight up chaos. Some of them absolutely were like, hell yeah, ruinous power, sign us up. The others were just kind of renegades, right? And I think what they're going to have to do with this is basically have three types. There's going to be the guys who are like, yes, thank God, please, we just let us come back to the Brotherhood. This is not really what we asked for. We never asked for this. You're going to have the second type, which will be like, I'm kind of enjoying being a renegade. Sorry, no thanks. We don't want any part of that. And then they're going to have to deal with them, right? As we see happens a lot with all of the chapters. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to have the third, which are the, yeah, we're straight up chaos. We're evil and we want nothing to do with you. And they're going to have to still hunt those guys, right? But to your point, it does fundamentally change it. Because as we just discussed at the beginning of this podcast, the Dark Angels, part of their whole thing, they're loyal to themselves first.
Right.
And then to the Imperium. So you have this faction of Space Marines that we're kind of doing our own thing over here. Mm-hmm. And now the one thing about them that they won't have to lose is that the Inquisition has always been kind of staring at them a little askance. Now that we have another Primarch back, the Inquisition can look at them a little askance for a whole different reason.
Right.
I think that is the one problem with the lion. I actually, as much as we joked about wanting the lion to come back, I wish they would have saved the lion for later. Because it does kind of change the lore. And I think Games Workshop has kind of realized that. And if Games Workshop hasn't realized that, the Black Library certainly has. Could you argue, and I've actually argued this in the past, that, okay, great, they're going to go hunt more fallen. Yay! So compelling, the same thing over and over and over. It's why I've never really liked the Dark Angels that much. Because, oh, look, it's yet another fallen. But that is part of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they kind of are now in this, okay, what are we going to do? And additionally, one of the things that I have always said, and this book kind of leans me towards that, is when Dad comes home and says, okay, here's the thing. Guys who want to rejoin, welcome home. Guys that are evil, no. Guys that don't want to rejoin, no. I can absolutely see another schism within the Dark Angels of like people like Azrael being like, no, we're just going to go ahead and keep doing our thing, because this has been our whole thing for 10,000 years. So it's cute. It's cute that you think you have control over the chapter, but you really don't anymore.
So one thing I think will be interesting with the lion, if that really is the lion coming back, is I'm expecting I am expecting a somewhat of a schism between himself and Asriel. Probably a little more intense than what happened between Rabute and Marnius Calgar.
Yes, very much so. Marnius is upset. Marnius is hurt. Marnius is having feels. Rabute has feels. There's all kinds of, like, there's a little bit of conflict there, but at the end of the day, because of the way that the Ultramarines' doctrine is, yes, I have feelings. Yes, I'm grumpy. Yes, mm-hmm. This sucks. That's dad. I'm gonna go along with it. And yes, I'm going to be a good little boy and I will listen and fight and do best that I can. That is not the Dark Angels' dogma. That is not their doctrine. As we just talked about, spent all this time talking about, is secrets. Secrets, 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 secrets. Compartmentalization. Nobody knows what these guys are doing. Nobody knows what these guys are doing. In theory, the lion is supposed to, but I could absolutely see them be like, you gotta earn your way back in, friend. Yes, you're our dad. Yes, we are genetically programmed to listen to you and do whatever you say, but you've also been gone for a really long time and the universe has changed.
It's changed just a little bit in the last 10,000 years.
Just a little smidgen. And I think that with that whole Lazarus versus Azrael thing, I do not want to see another schism within the Dark Angels. I don't want that to become their new doctrine going forward. Is okay. So there's Team Azrael and there's Team Lazarus, and Team Lazarus falls onto the lion's side of things. And he's in this brave new world and Azrael's just keeping on, keeping on. Although maybe that is what the lion would do, is he'd be like, fine, Azrael, take like 60 guys and just go find all the fallen. Go knock yourselves out. The rest of us are going to go back and fight for the Imperium. I could see that. And that would actually be sort of a way to not totally fundamentally break their whole thing.
Kind of.
But even then.
But you're going to lose the inner circle. You're going to lose. I mean, but maybe not. I mean, inner circle's been around since Caliban was whole. So
they'll just find another bunch of bullshit. This baby can fit so much bullshit inside of it.
They'll appoint a new cipher.
Oh my god. That'd be really funny. We'll have Cipher 1 and Cipher 2. Good Cipher and evil Cipher. I would like to say, though, that I'm not a huge Dark Angels fan. I really, really enjoyed this book. I really liked Lazarus.
It was fun.
It was exactly what I came for.
Same.
Just a good, not lore bending, turn everything upside down. Not like a, oh, what does this mean? As fun as it is to do that conjecture, I also just kind of liked, hey, here you go. Here's a planet. Things are bad.
But it was like a nice slice of, here's what's going on in the world of the Dark Angels and in the Age of the Primaris. Because we had that with War of Secrets.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't really seen it since then. Though the Lion book does not count. That was not, you know, the Age of the Primaris. So it was kind of nice to come back to this and see, like, this is how they are handling the Primaris, especially now that one of their own has crossed the Rubicon.
Exactly. And now I think it's, again, it's just going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how the Lion fits into all of that. I'm very excited for the next Dark Angels book, but I am worried that once a year, they're going to pop out a Dark Angels book because they're like, we have to make sure that this train moves as slowly as humanly possible because we don't want to completely upset and underturn the lore, which we didn't have to do that with Bob. Bob was the best guy to come back first because, again, all of his guys would just be like, ha, cool.
Right.
And keep going.
Exactly.
We'd find out that Uriel did no wrong. It was great.
Right.
But I also wonder because
there's like the other loyal chapters that we haven't really had, this kind of close examination. And I don't mean like every single watered down chapter under the sun. I mean, like, so we've had stuff with Primaris with the Imperial Fists, but we haven't really had any with Raven Guard. We haven't had any with White Scars. We have with the Space Wolves for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It was that that Dawn of Fire book. I know I'm missing people.
We are, but
it's first founding. Because
we are,
we have had him with the Blood Angels because we had Mephiston and all of that. Who told Dante is like, yeah, no, you probably wouldn't survive anyway, which is very, very true. Dante's old. He's been around a while.
Old Marine is old.
Yeah, but I'd be very interested in, I mean, a White Scars book. Because the White Scars is kind of doing their own things. That. Just like.
I absolutely love that.
Yeah, if Robert can even find them.
So here's a thought, by the way, speaking of this. You were saying that, and I was like, wow. We haven't really delved into that. So we had the Cypher book last August, right? We had Leviathan in July. That's how long it's been since we have had just a good old Bolter porn book of get some space marines, throw them up against an impossible odds. Mm-hmm. We have seen some of them in the Dawn of Fire books. To be fair, there's been scenes that have it, but the Dawn of Fire books, there's so much other stuff going on that it's not just space marines go fight something. Space marines go brr. That's how long it's been. But
thank God we've had a lot of great Astra Militarum books to kind of fill that in, though.
Totally, totally. And that is, I'm excited. There's another one coming out this Saturday. There's more Space Marines coming. But because of the shipping schedule, we have to go back into the Wayback Machine. But the good news is
that
Black Library, it's a reprint. They went into the Wayback Machine and reprinted it. And that is Lord of Night by Simon Spurrier.
Look how tiny this book is. I don't know why they made it so small. I mean,
like, especially it's a pocket book.
I mean, the whole thing fits in my hand.
So I'm going to move my mic down just to show, for example, if you're like, that's the size of a standard paperback. Here it is up against Soul Hunter. You can see that Soul Hunter is just a little bit taller, which is really crazy. I don't know why it's super tiny, too.
I have to break out my glasses for it.
Oh, I'm going to have to break mine out for this too, I think. But this is one of those books, as much of a huge Night Lords fan as I am. This has always been on my to read list, and I've never gotten it to read. So I'm actually really excited for this, to actually finally read this one and see if it is worth all of the hype about it. So Lord of Night, and then hopefully after that we will have our Renegades book, and then hopefully after that, the Black Library will continue to publish more books.
One can only hope.
One can only hope.
Well, I mean, we do got that Renegades book coming. Maybe.
That's true. Eventually. The shipping schedule has been wild. I don't know if it's because of just everything that they're doing, getting up, like, wrapped up with the Siege of Terra books. I don't know. I guess we'll... Or if they just suffered, like, some irreparable... like supply chain issue post COVID. I don't know, but I'm a little frustrated with it. This is my first worldiest of first world problems.
It is.
But gosh darn it, it's a problem when you run a book club podcast.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So that's where I was going to do everything ebook, and I don't like that. I like feeling the books in my hand.
I want the book.
Yeah.
How else will I dog ear my pages?
You're a monster.
You know what? I'm okay with it. On that note, do you want to take us out, Carrie?
You know, you are the chaos of reading books. I think about it.
100%. I own that. I own that.
It just makes so much sense when I think about it that way. So I don't know why you would do anything different, you know, totally honest. Right. But anyways, you've listened to the Warhammer 40K Book Club episode regarding Lazarus Enmity's Edge by Gary Kloster. Be sure to join us next time for The Lord of the Night by Simon Spurrier. We are an unofficial book club and not affiliated with the Black Library or any of its other affiliates. You can find the vidcast and podcast on our website, wh40kbookclub.com. The podcast literally anywhere you get podcasts, and of course the vidcast on YouTube. If you like this episode, please like, subscribe, and all those wonderful things. And come join our Discord. We're getting a lot of new people in there, and it's getting fun. We actually had one of our regulars found a bunch of stuff he painted when he was 11 and posted it. It's kind of funny. I have to say, he did a better job at 11 than I guarantee that I would do right now. So anyway, so they all share what they do. Obviously, I don't, because I haven't gotten there yet. I've painted one thing, and I haven't shown it to anybody. So our site also has articles about our adventures in reading other Warhammer 40K books, and short stories outside the book club books, and the Warhammer Plus animation. And yes, I am still reading the Horus Heresy, but the short story collection is killing me. I hate to admit it, it just is. But anyway, regardless, please stay a while and read for McCrag. I mean, I guess I'm Alfarious, but I kind of feel weird about it just because of everything with the Dark Angels. But I got my cool color-changing mug, and it has Jen's guy on one side and mine on the other. It's like the mug was like for us. Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Go on ahead. Light the beacon.
Some chartreuse. The beacon is lit. Gondor calls for more books and a faster shipping schedule.
That's really all we want. Just a faster
shipping schedule. It's literally all we're asking for. It really is.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
The Warhammer 40K Book Club is hosted by Jen Bozier and me. Recording and editing of both the vidcast and podcast were done by me. The book club questions and discussion format were done by Jen, and all of our music is by Jingle Punks. The Warhammer 40K Book Club is a Warhammer LLC production. This is a Voxcast that even he, Cato Sicarius, would approve.